Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What is going on, my crazy cryptid cohorts? I guess I don't know anymore. Anyway, if you're listening to this right now, you know that this is the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast bonus episode. So on this episode, it's going to be our pal John Wright from the Wright Headspace, and he's going to be talking about Bigfoot. So please check it out in 1 second. I just want to let you guys know that we're going to have a couple episodes coming out pretty soon, one of which is going to be mine and the Nat Man's episode on haunted houses and our regular episode. And then another episode is going to be of our buddy Bill Van Vagel, who is part of a co-hosting team on the podcast, The Land of the Creeps, which you guys got to check that out. It's an awesome podcast. It's all about horror movies and you're going to love it. So please check that out. But before that, please check this out. It's the Right Headspace with my friend, John Wright.
Good evening. You are entering a dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the Right Headspace.
Let's start today's episode off with a few words. Fesket, Hairy Man, Mountain Devil, Wild Man, Almasti, Yaren, and Yowie. Can you guess today's theme? If you said Bigfoot, you are correct. The majority of the information I am using for the following Bigfoot segment comes from a number of different sources. Primary among them is going to be books that come from Dr. Grover Krantz, his Bigfoot Sasquatch Evidence, Dr. Jeff Meldrum's book, Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science, John Green's The Best of Sasquatch Bigfoot, Steve Skull's website, sasquatchdetective.weebly.com, NBC News, Live Science, and a number of other articles that come from different websites. Now, the big question is, where did this all start? Bigfoot can be found in native myths dating back 200 plus years. One of the things I always talk about with my students when it comes to verbal histories is the fact that they're verbal, which means they're not written down and they can be changed over time. So usually within like the history background or setting, we tend to put a little bit more focus and credibility on those sources that are written as opposed to those sources which are passed down from generation to generation. Because one of the issues there is that those things can be changed over time. In science, the idea of an anthropomorphic animal has been mentioned since the time of Carl Linnaeus. Now, the question is, who is Carl Linnaeus? Linnaeus is a Swiss biologist who lived from 1707 to 1778, and he was one of the first people to actually start logging scientifically all the different animals that could be found throughout the world. Obviously, he didn't do it all by himself, but he did have other scientists that would help him along the way. Now, depending on how open-minded you want to be, you could actually stretch this back to ancient times. One of the things that always pops into my mind is when I talk to my kids about the ancient Sumerians is what's called the Epic of Gilgamesh. In there, you have this ancient Sumerian king who does all these great adventures. And during one of the adventures, they mention a friend of his, a wild man by the name of Enkidu. So the question is, how far back do you want to go? So you could potentially stretch this back to, we'll call it maybe 2,000 to 3,000 years, depending upon how deeply you want to look. Now, as far as location, verbal and written stories show that anthropomorphic wild men can be found throughout the world. But my focus is just primarily on Bigfoot. So most of the Bigfoot sightings originate somewhere in the northwestern corner of the United States, the southwestern corner of Canada, right along the border. The first written stories that I was actually able to find was about wild men, which had been back in 1924. A gentleman by the name of Mark Marcel actually does a great job with all this stuff, does the history of what's referred to as the Ape Canyon incident. Now, when they published the story, they didn't use the term Bigfoot. Instead, they used the term mountain devils. But when they described these things, they described them just like what you would expect a Bigfoot to sound like. Now, this incident took place on Mount St. Helens. And again, I would suggest go through, take a look, do a deep dive on the mountain devils and on the Ape Canyon incident. In recent years, there are sightings throughout the U.S. If you look at the BFRO or the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization website, they have a map on there. The map has a series of interactive links that you can click on. And when you go through those links, you can basically research all of the sightings. You can go by state. Within the state, you can go by county. And then you can also go by date. The next thing I wanted to mention is like Bigfoot and Yeti. I know when I was a kid, I'd always thought that Bigfoot and Yeti were basically the same thing. I later learned that there are some definite differences between the two. First being size. Most witnesses, when they report a Bigfoot, are going to say that the Bigfoot is between 7 to 9 feet on average. I know I've heard some stories where they've talked about them being 10 foot tall, whereas the Yetis and witness reports will claim that the creature is anywhere from about 5, reaching maybe about 6, maybe somewhere around 6.5 feet tall. Second is the footprints. Bigfoot leaves a print that is human-like in appearance, meaning that the big toe is aligned with the other toes, whereas the Yeti print has what we refer to as a divergent toe. This means that it's going to look more like your hand, like a thumb. It's very similar to what you would find with a monkey print. So as the print goes into the ground, rather than the big toe being aligned with the other toes, it's going to be off the side of the foot. So those are a couple of differences. One other thing that is going to that's going to differ is the color of their fur. So when you take a look at Bigfoot reports, typically people are going to report them to have dark colored fur. Now, this can range in a number of different shades. It can be dark brown. It can be like a reddish brown. I've heard people say they were red. I've heard people say black. And I've also heard stories where they've talked about them being sort of like a grayish color. Whereas with a Yeti, Yetis are almost always reported to be white. Now, why? Well, this kind of ties into their environment. When you look at where they live, if you're a Yeti, Yetis live in forested mountain areas. Bigfoot live in forested mountain areas. Darker color means they would have a better or an easier time trying to blend in with their surroundings. Whereas with a Yeti, live in barren, the Himalayas, Hindu Kush Mountains, not a whole lot of foliage on those areas. So the color white would help them blend in to the background. One similarity that they do have in common is both are cryptids. If you've never heard that term before, a cryptid is basically a term that's reserved for animals that have not yet been proven to exist. Most continents have a story of some sort of anthropomorphic cryptid. Once upon a time, giraffes, gorillas, manatees, orangutans, all these animals were thought to be mythical creatures, and we now know them to exist in the real world. Just to give you an example, that nothing ever is 100% solid and that things change all the time. In the last 100 years, over 100 species of primates have been discovered and identified. Now, the reason why I say that is because I'm gonna call it a hopeful believer in Bigfoot. My thoughts on Bigfoot is that Bigfoot is a flesh and blood creature and is an unidentified primate. We've all heard that every continent has primates except for North America. And my big question is, or does it? Which is more likely, Is it more likely that there's an animal of flesh and blood that just hasn't been identified, or a dimension hopping creature? I'll be honest, I do not subscribe to that theory. Why don't I believe in the dimension hopping idea? I believe that this theory is an attempt to solve a unknown with another unknown. It's a desperate attempt to make sense of a strange situation, or maybe a not so strange situation. So one of the examples I use is people make these portal claims. Why do they make the portal claim? They're walking through the woods. They find this single print. Look all around, cannot find any other matching prints, and immediately jump to the conclusion that, oh, you know what? Maybe they don't walk in this world. Maybe they're interdimensional. And they phased in for a little bit, and then they've left the print, phased back out, and that's why we can't find any others. I think a logical or more logical reason for the single print idea is potentially the composition of the soil, the ground itself. If we're dealing with rocky soil, is really not very good for leaving impressions. Again, we look at the environment in which they live or reported to live, and you're going to find either a number of areas where they have really thick grass, or you may also have areas where they're walking through the woods, thick piles of pine needles. Well, either one of those, yeah, you might be able to leave an impression, but you're not going to leave any type of detailed track. A second scenario is you have a person walking in the woods and they see the Bigfoot. The person attempts to follow the Bigfoot, but the creature automatically, it just like suddenly disappears. I would say based on the reported characteristics of a Bigfoot, let me remind you, hairy, dark, they got big padded feet. Like most animals, they're adapted to blend in with their environment so that they can hide. The hair, the color of the hair is going to help them blend in the shadows. Their big feet, because supposedly they have big, fat, padded feet, is going to be less prone to leaving any type of discernible print. The other thing I've seen is, oh, well, they didn't blend in. They cloaked themselves. I have a real hard time believing in the cloaking idea. The reason why, most people report them not to have any type of technology, maybe throw a rock, maybe a stick. They don't really have anything beyond that. So how am I supposed to believe that this animal that lives in the woods has no other technology, is actually walking around and can cloak itself and make itself disappear? Can they cloak? So I'm being a little sarcastic when I say this and say, yeah, but maybe not in the way that you think. They don't have the technology to do it, but what they do have is, again, if they exist, the ability to adapt to their environment and blend in, just simply because their bodies have done that. My apologies to Star Wars fans. I don't think Bigfoot is piloting the Millennium Falcon anytime soon. Another thing that I get here is, why don't we find any type of bones or things like that? Well, if we could find a skeleton, we could prove it. Well, we can't find a skeleton. Well, why can't we find a skeleton? Because they believe in the idea of them being interdimensional. I'm going to say let's pump the brakes on that one just a little bit here and back up. Are there logical explanations as to why you may not find skeletons? So first thing I'm going to mention is let's go back to the environment. Bigfoot lives, again, if Bigfoot exists, lives in an environment which has very acidic soil. So why is that important? That's an important factor because when you're talking about acidic soil, this is going to cause, whether we're talking about bones or any other type of soft tissue, things like that, it's going to cause things to decay very rapidly in that type of environment. In addition to the soil, there could be other animals which need calcium, and they consume bones over time. This is a condition known as osteophagy, and there are examples of different types of animals that are known to consume other animals' bones. First on the list is giraffe. You got deer, you have bears, you have porcupines, tortoises, and vultures. And this is just a short list of creatures that consume bones for calcium. Minus the giraffe, all of the others mentioned on this list are all present in North America, especially in the areas where people are prone to see a Bigfoot. One last idea is that we may not find a skeleton because animals are, when they're ill or they're in the throes of dying, tend to hide in places where they feel safe. For example, your cat may not feel very well, so what does it do? It hides in your basement or it goes and hides under your bed. We know that the bones of bears and other creatures have been found in caves, deep in caves. So it's quite possible that maybe Bigfoot does the same thing, hides in spaces where it feels safe and then maybe dies. No other Bigfoots go out there, find the body and bury them, and they just bones decay over time. I would say that's probably more along the lines of a more logical explanation as to why we can't find bones as opposed to they phase in and they phase out. In the next segment, I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about Bigfoot DNA. I'm going to talk about a woman by the name of Melba Ketchum and her involvement in all of this. So until next time, I'm signing out saying hopefully this leaves you in the right headspace. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744. Or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or warpedrealitypodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.